tell you who's having a great week is Carly Fiorina. I watched her on Hannity last night. She had the whole hour, and she knocked it out of the park. I think she's going to be on that debate stage, the Fox News debate, after her performance last night. I'd like to think that I'm her good luck charm because she was on my Valentine's Day show, also a remote from the same area of downtown Denver. It was cool to see her walk by through the Hyatt. She waved to me on her way to the Brown Palace, but we've got her on the phone. Carly Fiorina, welcome back to the airwaves of 710 KNUS.
Thank you so much for having me back. It was great to wave to you as we walked by.
I know it. I can't believe you got from New York to Denver so fast. What about that appearance on Hannity? I think you hit a home run, probably with two or three people on base. Did you think it went as well as I thought it went for you?
Well, thank you so much for saying so. First of all, of course, I was so pleased and honored to have the opportunity to speak with Sean Hannity and his viewers for that long. You know, it's wonderful to have that much time to really amplify who you are and what you would do around a variety of important issues. And based on the reaction we've gotten in the Twitterverse and fundraising and emails and all the rest, I think it clearly went well.
And one of the things that I like about you, and I think people around America like about you, unless they're fans of Hillary Clinton, is your willingness to take her on. When you say Hillary Clinton must not be president, you say it with an emphasis that I agree with. She's just corrupt, and you're not afraid to say it.
Well, you know, I think it's really important that people understand what's at stake here. We can't lose to Hillary Clinton. We cannot lose the White House again. And every day that goes by, that becomes more and more clear. So Hillary Clinton must be beaten. And I think we have to be very clear-eyed about what it's going to take to beat her. Yes, she's a very flawed candidate, but we shouldn't underestimate her in any way. She's going to have all the money in the world, more money than anyone on our side. She's going to have a great ground game, thanks to two Obama terms. She is a very hard-working, focused woman, clearly willing to pander to whomever is necessary to get elected. So we have to be very clear-eyed, and that means we need a nominee, and I believe I am that nominee, who or would be that nominee, who will really take the fight to her and be fearless in pointing out who she actually is and what she will actually do and the policy she will actually pursue.
Right. Maybe you have an advantage being the same gender, but every day there's a new revelation about Hillary Clinton. Now it's come out what we always suspected, that there are a bunch of missing emails. They relate to Benghazi. She's been caught, and she's destroying evidence. I'm an attorney. It's called spoliation, and when you can prove it, it leads to an adverse inference or a sanction against the party who's destroying the evidence. I mean, this is ridiculous how many things that she's destroying, and yet she seems to get a pass from the media.
Well, and, you know, in addition to that, it's part of this larger pattern. I mean, look, there's a reason that 82% of the American people think we have this professional political class and the deck is stacked in Washington and it all just goes on and on. I mean, we just heard yesterday or the day before as well about the fact that the IRS has lost, kind of failed to preserve tens of thousands of emails that they were told to preserve. Is that ineptitude? Is that corruption? What is that? But you can rest assured that this administration isn't going to pursue any of that. And so, of course, Hillary Clinton thinks she can get away with it.
Right. And Barack Obama knows of the corruption, knows of the lies about the Clinton Foundation, and for whatever reason doesn't do anything about it. I wrote down your description of the government when you said it last night to Sean Hannity: bloated, bureaucratic, corrupt, and inept. And I'm telling you, what's attractive about your candidacy is that you've never held political office, but you headed up a great company, Hewlett-Packard. But before that, you worked for a small 9-person real estate firm, starting out as the secretary. What does your background give you as an advantage? And I'll tell you, when you walk by, one of my producers said, "She's got the biggest telephone I've ever seen." I don't know how big it is. I said, maybe that's a Hewlett-Packard model. I don't know.
No. I tell you what, it's an iPhone 6 Plus with a Mophie charger on it. And yes, it's huge. We went from wanting them really small to now needing them really big. And that, of course, has something to do with my age and my eyes. You know, the bigger it is, the better I can read it. But, look, I did, in fact, start as a secretary for a 9-person real estate firm and ultimately became the chief executive of the largest technology company in the world, Hewlett-Packard. That is only possible in this nation. I really do understand how the economy works, from the smallest business to the largest business. I understand how the world works. I mean, I've been in and around the world for a very long time. I know virtually every world leader on the stage today. I've had private meetings with them, not photo ops. I've advised a lot of governments, so I'm not a neophyte. You know, I've been engaged in multiple presidential campaigns, but I chaired the advisory board of the CIA, advised 2 secretaries of defense, a secretary of homeland security, a secretary of state. So I understand how bureaucracies operate, because whether a bureaucracy is in business or government, it's all the same. I understand technology. I understand use technology to change bureaucracies and also to re-engage citizens in the process of their government. And perhaps most importantly of all, I understand leadership, what it is, the fact that it requires sometimes tough calls in tough times with high stakes for which you are prepared to be held to account, but that ultimately, leadership is not about the position. It's not about the title you hold. It's not about the power or the size of your office. It's about whether a leader is willing to serve by unlocking potential in others. And now I believe we need a leader in the Oval Office who will serve the American people by challenging the status quo in a serious way of Washington, D.C., and unlocking the potential of this great nation.
I intend to challenge the status quo on Sunday on the west steps of the state capitol. I'm going to be part of a rally to stop this bad Iran nuclear deal. You're invited to join us if you're still in town. I think you could pick up another couple percentage points. Tell us your attitude about this pending Iran nuclear deal.
Terrible deal. And, of course, because our president declared victory before he even had a deal, the Ayatollahs in Iran have spent the last several months renegotiating the deal so that it's even worse than it was a few months ago. I can remember sitting in Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel's office, 5 years ago, talking with him privately about Iran and their march towards a nuclear weapon, and then going to see the head of Mossad to talk about the same thing. Look, I don't care what the deal is. The day I would enter the Oval Office, I would make 2 phone calls. The first would be to Bibi Netanyahu to reassure him we will stand with the State of Israel. The second will be to the Supreme Leader of Iran. He might not take my phone call, but he would get my message. And the message is this: until you open every nuclear facility, every uranium enrichment facility to full and unfettered anytime, anywhere inspections, we will cut off your ability to move money around the financial system. We can do that. We don't need anyone's cooperation or permission to do that. We need to do it. This is a bad deal, and Iran needs to be stopped.
Well, you're saying my world. I'm a native of Denver. I hope you like it. And you went from the Hyatt Regency over to the Brown Palace. Are you familiar with the history of the Brown Palace?
Well, a little bit, yes, but I'm sure you can tell me much more about it. It's been several years since I've been here, but it's always a great place.
Well, I guess the major claim to fame is the Beatles once stayed there, and it's a Denver landmark, but now Carly Fiorina is there, and you're going to be at the Western Conservative Summit this weekend. Why is Colorado important to you?
Well, Colorado is important for a whole set of reasons. Obviously, this is a state where a lot of really important and active conservatives and Republicans reside. This is a state that is, testing the limits of states' rights. For example, I don't agree with the legalization of marijuana. I think we're misleading young people about how safe it is. It's not the same as having a beer. On the other hand, I accept that Colorado and Colorado voters have the right to be a laboratory of democracy for this. I hope they will come to their senses. So I think there are a lot of interesting things that go on in Colorado. Of course, last year I was very engaged in a project called Unlocking Potential to help bring women back to the Republican Party. We worked hard to try and get Cory Gardner elected, and very pleased that he is a wonderful senator from this great state. So there are many things that happen here that I think are impactful, newsworthy, and leading in the nation now.
A great female leader that I admire very much is Governor Nikki Haley of South Carolina. I thought she was pitch perfect in the way she responded to the tragedy, the murders in Charleston. But what's your opinion about that?
Well, I agree with you. And I think, you know, in all of the rush to blame the wrong things for that tragedy, what I think was wonderful is that Nikki Haley's event, the people standing with her, it was a great example of unity. Unity between Republicans and Democrats. Unity between people of African American descent and whites. It was an example of unity. And what people have forgotten in the history of all this is that there was the same unity between Republicans and Democrats, between blacks and whites, when that flag was erected, the Confederate flag, where it was. And so clearly there was a time in the opinion of the people of South Carolina for that flag to be flying, and there is a time now in the opinion of the people of South Carolina, which is where this decision should rest, for that flag to come down. And I hope that there are others who will not rush to obliterate history. It is not wise to forget the history of this nation. It is through our history and through our struggles that we become a more perfect union.
Right, and I don't claim to know the South that well. I'm a Coloradan, you're a Californian, but I don't like the Confederate flag, and when various companies have decided not to sell it anymore, I say good for them. That's the marketplace, and you're familiar with the marketplace. Do you approve of these various big companies like Target and Walmart and Amazon and Apple taking the stand against the Confederate flag? Isn't that just the marketplace at work?
Well, if it is, then I applaud it, absolutely. I think sometimes, however, companies respond to political pressure. And if that's what it is, that's too bad. But look, I think that a tragedy like this should be an opportunity for unity and introspection. And while the Confederate flag is really important, obviously, to the people of South Carolina, it's why they came together and made this decision, I would feel so much better if we would have an even more important conversation about mental health in this nation, about whether we are treating it appropriately, about how it is that we have so many of these really deranged young men whom others know are a problem long before they commit violence, and yet they are not stopped. That's a really important conversation to have as well, and unfortunately we're not having it.
Carly Fiorina, I appreciate the chance to have a further conversation with you, and we should do this every few months because your standing keeps rising, and I think Colorado's going to be a key swing state, and you're wise to be here. When are you going to be available for the public to see you at the Western Conservative Summit? I know right now you're at a public event at the Brown Palace. When else are you scheduled to speak?
Well, I'm going to be speaking tomorrow, and I am the closing speaker tomorrow morning at the Western Conservative Summit. So I'm speaking from 11 to 11:30 tomorrow.
Well, Carly, stay strong. I call you Carly. I think one of your advantages is the name Carly is so cool. My basketball coach in college was named Jerry Carly. My son's girlfriend's named Carly. I don't know that we've ever had a public figure named Carly, but I think your name is a good advantage. Do you agree?
Well, it is what it is, so therefore I'm happy to have it.
I think yes, your last memorable. Name, too.
Sometimes yeah. People stumble over the last name Fiorina. Carly is easy, and I would be happy to come back. After all, as you said at the top of this conversation, you're my good luck charm, so I got to come back.
Well, there we go. I think it's a beautiful, poetic name, Carly Fiorina. Thanks for being back on 710 KNUS. Safe travels, and we'll see you around the summit, okay?
Yes, see you soon. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Wow, what a delight. Did you watch her on Hannity last night? I think she had a three-run homer. Maybe it was a grand slam, but I think she's going to be in that debate. 10 people on the stage. You know that Donald Trump's going to be there, but you know who can handle him? Probably Carly Fiorina.